I believe that Jesus is my Lord who has redeemed me, a lost and condemned creature purchased and won me from all sins, from death, and from the power of the devil. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord. You are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. God has plans for us as we go through life and have different responsibilities and have different opportunities because of the situation. During our 5 years in Ghana, we tried to stay in once the sun started setting. As soon as the sun started setting, the mosquitoes would come out, and with the mosquitoes would come malaria. And so we wanted to be inside, keep away from the mosquitoes as much as possible. We got the children fed and in bed quite early, and then we ourselves, we would have some time in the evening. And I ended up with the opportunity to read quite a bit of Luther and about biographies of Luther and his writings and so forth. It was during that time, during that extra study, that this teaching that's very clear in a small catechism and also in the large catechism of the three enemies and the three victories came to mind. I integrated it into the work there in Ghana, into my teachings ever since. And we see, and we're going to see it in the scriptures, that a shorthand way, while also being comprehensive, is that Luther says, what has he redeemed me from? He's redeemed me from sin, from death, and from the power of the devil. So how is Jesus my Lord? What does he save me from? What does he protect me from? Sin, death, and the power of the devil. And also then in the catechism in several places, you have the victories of Christ, the gifts of Christ that he gives to us. Sin, he gives forgiveness. Death, he gives life. The power of the devil, he gives salvation. He saves us from evil. And so, if nothing else tonight, remember, sin, death, the power of the devil, Christ gives us forgiveness, life, and salvation. And with that shorthand, that says much about our whole Christian faith and about Christ being our Lord. And as I said, it appears not only here in the small catechism, but under baptism, under the Lord's Supper, all these places, Luther said, look what Jesus saves us from. So I picked out several passages that we just read from Scripture. And you could look at others too, but these are passages that are well known and help us think about this and teach us about these enemies and these victories. In that first temptation of Adam and Eve, they sinned against God. They rebelled against him. And God told them in advance, if you eat of that tree, that day you will die. So the sin is there, and God warned them the death would come, which it did. And then in the whole narrative of Genesis 3, what's going on? The devil heard that warning against them too, and the devil did not want them to remain in communion and holiness and the wonderful relationship they had with God, being completely open and free with him. And so he led Eve and Adam to think differently about God's commands, to think differently about the eating of that fruit. It wouldn't be bad, it was good. So right away in Genesis chapter 3, you have sin and death and the devil. When they sinned, this passage in Genesis 3:15 is just completely full of God's concern and care and grace for Adam and Eve and all their descendants, for us. Because God ensured when he put this curse on the devil, he made sure that the devil knew, and Adam and Eve knew in hearing it, that they weren't for the devil, and the devil wasn't for them. He says, I will put enmity between you and woman. That's striving, that's fighting, that's warfare. I will put enmity between you, devil, and the woman, between her offspring and your offspring. They're not for you. You're their enemy. You're not their ally. You're their enemy. And that's the way God shook it out. Okay, now this, we have sin and death, but it doesn't matter. You're their enemy. You're not their friend. That's one of the great temptations the devil gives to the world and to us. I'm your friend. No. Enemy. And then God also promises that, and there will be a male born of her descendants who will crush your head. You are not going to win. You're going to lose. You're the enemy, and you're going to lose. I didn't have you speak, the congregation speak, all the words of the results of sin. Of course, there was pain and childbirth that he said to Eve. And part of what he said to Adam explains this pain that we have, this struggle that we have in daily life. When God said, cursed is the ground because of you, now we're going to have to struggle and strive. It was supposed to bring forth nutrition and health and protection for them, but now other things, hardships would rise from the earth. And did you notice it says, in pain you shall eat of it all the days of your life. That pain was built into this result of sin. So when we bear pain and we have struggle and striving, it reminds us who know God's word, this is the result of sin. It wasn't God's original design. This is the result of sin. And this is sin in my life when this happens. Towards the end of what he said to Adam, God says, till you return to the ground, for out of it you were taken, for you are dust, and to dust you shall return. So this is also the result of sin, this death. But a couple things to note here. First of all, it says your body will return to the ground. Our body corrupts, returns to the grave, returns to the waters, whatever our situation is, where we die. But he doesn't say your soul ceased to exist. He doesn't say you cease to exist. He says your body, which was taken from the dust, will return. But your soul goes on. And he doesn't say that your body will remain dust forever. He doesn't say that. And so built into the results of sin, built into the judgment upon human beings, is not that God says, now you are lost forever. Now the devil is your ally, your friend, and now I'm not going to help you, and now you are destroyed, and you will never survive and exist again. He doesn't say that. He says the devil is at enmity between Adam and Eve and all their descendants, and his head will be crushed. Now you're going to have pain and suffering, and you will return to the earth. Your bodies will return to the earth. But there's a promise, there's a hint there that there will be life, that there still is life with God. As I thought through passages, to think about, this passage from Peter, of course, is so strong a picture. I thought we have to think about this one. Your devil, the adversary, is going about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he will devour. I think as Christians who know that, whenever we might get a chance to see a roaring lion at the zoo or something like that, we think about that. And of course, even in Israel at the day, Peter's day, when he wrote this, there were lions in Israel. There were different wild predators, and there were lions actually there. So he says this, and he says this to Christians. Remember, Peter is writing Christians, people who believe in Jesus Christ. And he says to them, now, you have an adversary. You have the devil, and he is seeking to take you down. He reminds us, it's not just the devil's out there in society, which he is, but he's seeking to take down Christians. And he's still loose, and he wants to. Just as the devil lied to Adam and Eve to break their relationship with God, so he lies to us to try to get us to sin and lose faith in God. Now, Peter says in verse 9, resist him. The devil can be resisted by Christians. He says, stay firm in your faith. So though the devil is going against us, he can be resisted. Now, as Peter says, you can resist him. Stay firm in your faith. He doesn't say this is going to be easy. And he doesn't say, now, your life is going to be victorious and you'll never have a problem again on earth. He doesn't say that, does he? What he says there is, firm in your faith, knowing that the same kinds of suffering are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world. They're suffering for Christians as we resist Satan. And this goes back to what God also said to Adam. It isn't, in pain you will eat your bread. There's suffering and striving in this life, but evil and the devil can be resisted. So there is victory, as Peter says, that God gives us in Christ. Verse 10, and after you have suffered a little while, what is a little while? Our life on earth. And after you suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. So we suffer, we resist evil for a little while, this life, however many years God gives us. But Paul says, Peter says, but you have victory in Christ, and your eternal calling is to be in heaven. The very brief two verses from Romans 16 is very clear in verse 20 there, isn't it? The God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Crush Satan under your feet. That is the parallel language, the exact language that God spoke to the devil with Adam and Eve hearing. And he, that descendant of Eve, will crush your head, which Christ did with his death and resurrection. But here Paul even says, but God will crush Satan under your feet too. And this matches up with what Peter said. You can resist him. And Paul says, he's crushed under your feet too. Now, how can Paul say that? Well, if we look back, and I didn't put all the readings in here, but I note Romans chapter 6. If you look that up on your own time, what does Paul say in Romans chapter 6? Don't forget that whoever is baptized into Christ is baptized into his death. And being baptized into his death, we're also baptized into his resurrection. In his death and resurrection, we are baptized. And when we're baptized into that of Christ, we're baptized into his victory. And so you will even hear the next song, 666, I'll talk about that in a moment. The next hymn talks about the victory and thanksgiving to God in baptism and the Lord's Supper, because forgiveness, life, and salvation, God's victories are there for us. So, as Christ said, it is finished, and crushes Satan's head, so also that victory is given to us. Finally, if we're thinking about these enemies, sin, death, and the power of the devil, how can we not think about what happened to Peter? makes this great confession of Jesus Christ, of which Jesus wanted them to know above everything else. Who do you say that I am? You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And he says, Peter, this is fantastic, for nothing on earth has taught you this, but this has been revealed by my Father in heaven to you. This is what you need to know. For if we confess that Jesus is the Christ, then we confess that he is the seed that was promised to Adam and Eve. He's the chosen one. He's the one who would crush Satan's death, head, and all the other promises throughout the Old Testament. He's the one. He's the anointed one. He's the chosen one. That's the one. And for us to confess that and to be baptized into his name brings his victory to us. Why did he not want to them to speak about him? He strictly charged them to tell no one that he was the Christ. Well, they weren't ready to know what the Christ really was about, wasn't it? Because as soon as Jesus tells him the mission of Christ, how we know now he would gain that victory over by suffering death and resurrection, he starts to tell them that, and then what does Peter say? No, let that never happen to you, Lord. No, that's the devil. Because God's plan was to bring victory over sin, death, and the devil through Jesus' suffering, death, and resurrection. And so if Jesus would be turned away from that, he would be turned away from all of God's promises and plans. So though Peter confessed that great confession of Jesus, he still was mixed up and not thoroughly known, not taught by the Holy Spirit yet. But this is what the Christ must do: suffer, die, and rise again. And there is forgiveness, life, and salvation. With this confession, Jesus says, when you believe that I am the Christ, then the gates of hell cannot prevail. And the church, and it's a very curious word there, because you never hear, we translate it in most English translations, church, which is fine. And then we think of church, and we think of building, and we think maybe the instrument, you know, and that's fine, it's true, but the root word here is assembly. The assembly of believers. The assembly of believers can never be overthrown when they confess that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Now, we use the English word assembly of believers to describe church, which is fine, but it's the believers that cannot be overthrown. So even though, for instance, during the time of Stalin, when the churches were being ripped down and persecutions were going left and right and German Lutherans were being sent off to Siberia, who survived in that case? Who first survived longest? The Lutherans in Siberia were still there at the fall of the Soviet Union. The church prevails. Not that they didn't suffer, they suffered much, but the church prevails. Even the small catechism prevailed. So Christ's victory is sure and certain. But human ideas sometimes think, but the victory should look like this, and the victory should look like this, losing focus on the suffering and death and resurrection of Jesus, which is the victory, which is in what we are baptized, which is in what saves us. So God keeps our focus on what his Son has done, what he promised to do in his Son, what that lasts through all our lives. It's very important for us to hear these words from Jesus, to hear what our Father wants us to know, that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, the Christ who would suffer, die, and rise again. And any human words that would distract us from knowing that, then that's not what we should be listening to. We should hear Jesus is our Lord, how he saves us, what he saves us from. Sin, death, and the power of the devil by his forgiveness, life, and salvation. We pray. Dear Father in heaven, thank you so much for keeping your promise to our first parents, Adam and Eve, and to all generations following, that you would send a victor to crush Satan's head, to give life, to give forgiveness. Keep our faith in Jesus Christ sure and certain. Keep our confession and faith and teaching sure and certain and focused on your Son, Jesus. For in him and in what he has done, there we find true life and union with you. Give us your Holy Spirit that our faith may not waver. In the name of Jesus we pray, amen. Now may the peace which surpasses all human understanding keep our hearts and our minds with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.